My name is Audrey. I have a new life in Christ, and I'm recovering from pride, control, and fear. I accepted Christ at a young age, and while I believed my eternity was sealed forever, I had no idea how to live a faithful life following Christ on this side of eternity. Going to church was a part of my family's Sunday routine, but my parents were quick to move on due to the hurt they experienced in several churches. We jumped from church to church for years. Bitterness would soon become my inherited reaction to harms done to me. I knew I was loved, but I did not receive the protection and care that I needed as a child. My older brother began watching my little sister and I undress when we were in elementary school. I trusted that the blanket my mother nailed over the swinging doors that joined our rooms together would keep me safe and stop the behavior. It didn't. "He just admires you," my mom said when I approached her again about my brother's lingering looks and his desire to find a girlfriend with a body just like mine. Posing for a picture, my grandfather whispered in my ear not to stand too close to him because I was turning him on. My uncle always commented on everything I wore as his gaze followed every step I made. I could not rationalize why it was acceptable for some family members to treat me this way, or why I was dismissed by those entrusted to care for me. Excusing and minimizing these experiences led me to feel confused, unheard, invalidated, abandoned, unworthy of care, and silenced. A deep resentment towards my brother grew and splintered to my parents, blistering into bitterness and unforgiveness. Being objectified as a young girl followed me into adulthood. I quickly fell into inappropriate relationships with men. Guilt, shame, and lies of my self-worth engulfed me. In 2014, a broken engagement desperately drew me back to the Lord, but I rejected that Christ died for my sexual sin because I believed that my sin was far too expensive. My sin needed extra time on the cross with more nails, so I nailed Jesus to the cross daily by punishing myself and believing damaging lies. I snuffed out my true identity in Christ. When charges were brought against my oldest brother by another girl's family, my bitterness swelled. Could this have been prevented? Why wasn't I protected too? I became judgmental and critical, valuing self-protection, power, and seeking justice as a way to control my fear of future harm to me and others who were also silently overlooked. I began to believe that God's timing for justice was far too slow and that I could do a better job on my own. Every relationship in my life became fractured, and the festering sore of unforgiveness continued to spread. I withdrew and locked myself in prison, filled with bitterness and resentment, thinking I was holding power over others by choosing not to forgive them. In reality, I was drinking poison, hoping someone else would die. Decades of carrying my bitterness and punishing myself and others finally became too much to bear. In God's kindness, he sent my sister to confirm what his spirit was gently nudging me towards: recovery. I desperately wanted to be healed. I decided to move 900 miles back to Dallas to attend Regeneration. I heard about Regeneration years before, but part of me was not looking forward to moving back to my church home. Frustrated by what biblical community should look like, dysfunction in my own community groups and my avoidant responses in conflict left gaping wounds on both sides. In a church that declared diversity, I did not see that when I looked around. I saw a sea of likeness mingling with likeness, bias, missed opportunities, a lack of education, and insensitivity. I felt invisible, less than, and like I didn't belong. I moved back to Dallas in July of 2020. Fear of seeing individuals who had hurt me kept me from attending Regen for a month. I was so internally focused that I could not see the beginning stages of the Lord redeeming relationships in my life. Groundwork was a blur because of the steady stream of tears that sprang forth from my eyes as God began to use the curriculum to crack open my hardened heart. Through the encouragement of my step group leaders, I looked at the abuse supplement, convinced that it did not apply to me. It was there that I discovered the definition of sexual abuse. Any sexual activity, verbal, visual, emotional, physical, engaged in without consent, which uses one person in order to meet another person's sexual or emotional desires. The cost of speaking the truth was terrifying when I had already lost so much in the silence, but the relief of finally having a name for what had happened to me was incredibly freeing. In step four inventory, I began to see the extent of my sin and how massively entangled it is. I also began to see the infinite depth of forgiveness covering my sin because of the sacrifice Jesus made on the cross. He wanted me to accept the truth that he had paid for my sin once and for all. He didn't need me to continue to nail him to the cross again and again because he was no longer there. It is finished. There is nothing else I needed to do other than to fully accept the free gift of grace that he had patiently been revealing. Step 5, confess. I knew this would be an incredibly humbling experience and had such peace in sharing my inventory because I knew that I'd be met with love. The weeks leading up to my confession, the Lord placed a song in my heart. The chorus reads, "Joyful, joyful, we adore thee, God of glory and Lord of love. Hearts unfold like flowers before thee, opening to the sun above." The great healer was cultivating my heart and it was beginning to bloom. When my mentor arrived at my confession, I was overcome with emotion upon seeing what she had in her hands, a beautiful bouquet of my favorite flowers that my sister had arranged. Step 8, forgive. I struggled with letting go of the power I thought I had over those who had harmed me. But then I read, "What if God forgave my sins in the same way that I forgive sins against me? Would I be reconciled with God?" I was at a crossroads. I could choose to ignore God's command to forgive, or I could be fully obedient and wholly surrender my desire for justice to my Abba Father. In the Step 8 Forgive Abuse Supplement, I realized that Christ knows our pain and shame. He knows what it means to suffer innocently. In fact, Christ was a victim of my sin, but he was pierced for our transgressions. He is crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was on him, and by his wounds we are healed, Isaiah 53:5. I hurt Jesus the same way others had hurt me. The insecure foundation that I used to justify my heart posture came crashing down. I fell on my knees, bowed down, and totally surrendered. My view of God was corrected. He is the great defender and just judge. Life after recovery is different because I am different. Jesus alone is the life-giving wellspring of my soul. Satisfaction cannot be found anywhere else. I have been made new and trust that Christ's blood was enough payment for both the sins against me and for my own sin. My bitter, heavy heart of stone has been softened. I will sprinkle clean water on you, and you will be clean. I will cleanse you from all your impurities and from your idols. I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit in you. I will remove from you your heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh. Ezekiel 36:25-26. Being honest about the abuse in my life has created space for relief, grieving the loss, forgiving my abusers and parents, and finding freedom. At times, navigating covert sexual abuse can be very confusing. Since sharing my story last year, I've experienced regret for telling the truth because of the response I received from my parents. But now I understand that it is not my job to convince them of what happened. Instead, I must trust that this part of my story isn't over yet. I'm hopeful for continued conversations in this area, knowing the Spirit is working and God can restore the years laid waste by the pain of abuse. While forgiveness is not giving up my demand for justice, it is a decision to give my claim for justice to God through Christ. The Lord has provided a group of people in my life who are for me. Through the promptings of the Holy Spirit and living in authentic community, I am keeping short accounts by continuing the steps of inventorying my sin, confessing, forgiving, making amends, and pursuing reconciliation. Every day I must choose to surrender my daily will to the Father's good and perfect will by releasing my hurt, entrusting justice to God, and exalting Christ above all else. I am extending grace, pursuing peace, and inviting conversation about race as I trust the Lord with his plan for increased diversity in the church. When encouraged to lead in Regen, I laughed because there couldn't be someone more inadequate. Yet, here I am, serving in first-time guests. I get to watch the Spirit begin to awaken hearts who are just as desperate for healing and change. If this is your first time tonight, I remember the rawness, the hopelessness, and I am here to declare hope's name, Jesus. He has delivered me from the depths of despair, and it is my joy to proclaim his goodness and mercy in my life. He is not ashamed to be seen with me. My hope is that through my story, you will see Jesus. He has called me by name out of a life of bitterness, heaviness, and shame into a life of freedom and joy. I have been invited into the greatest love, and fear cannot be found in Jesus. There will never be a day that he is uncertain of the ones that he chooses. Surrender whatever you are holding on to today. My name is Audrey. I have a new life in Christ, and I'm recovering from pride, control, and fear, and I marvel at the work of the Lord in my life. To God be all the glory.